Legazy.
Yeah, I knew you wanted to say it. I knew you wanted to say Legazy.
Legazy.
Allegazia. That's one for the fantasy fans out there.
Tell me about Kvothe.
No, it's not Kvothe. It's Eragon, actually, I think you'll find. You aware of the Eragon series?
I won't find. I'm aware of it because they released some film that got ignored.
Holy shit, we should do Eragon.
No, never watched it, mate.
Oh, mate.
I've got no interest.
That would be a hot topic.
That's not a film you forgot. That's a film that no one saw.
It is bad. It's really bad, actually.
Right, yeah, that's not, you know, that's...
It had Robbie Carlyle as Durs of the Shade.
Yeah.
And it had John Malkovich as Galbatorix, the, like, evil bad guy. But it was, like, super pantomime. And the main kid who played Aragorn... God bless
Aragorn.
Him. Really, just very peachy faced, you know? A real pink boy.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
Hello and... Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond, and joining me as ever is the old leaky bucket pumpkin head. He's forgotten more things than he's had hot dinners. Joe Devine.
Born free. Free as the wind blows. You ever watch that film?
No.
Free as the stars glow.
The Bourne Legacy introduces a brand new hero, Aaron Cross, Jeremy Renner, an agent on the run from destruction and on a journey to discover the truth in life or death stakes created by events of the first three Bourne films. That's very confusing. Cross and Dr. Shearing, Rachel Weisz, fight to survive as CIA ops led by Eric Beyer, Edward Norton, attempt to shut down their operation and make everyone involved disappear for good. And then there's some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Bourne movie in name only, really. It happens during the events of the Bourne Ultimatum, a fair bit of it. And so it's quite bold and it's quite confusing. You've got Jeremy Renner. He's a kind of a Bourne-alike, and the powers that be are shutting up shop. Anyone who's affiliated with these kind of illicit government training programs, and they're going to kill Renner, and they're going to kill Weisz.
Pam Landy's blown the whistle.
You forgot this. Did you see this at the cinema?
I did see this at the cinema. I did, yeah. What? I think I forgot this because I have since watched Jason Bourne, the, I suppose, fourth Bourne film in the story of Jason Bourne, which was, you know, also disappointing. So this one, that title kind of just took on my disappointment about the franchise, which also included this film, really.
Let's kill the elephant in the room right now.
Uh-huh.
This film is only a disappointment if you are, if you want Jason Bourne to be your best friend and you want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And, yep. You know, be mm-hmm. a super cool spy.
I do.
In no way, if you take this film on its own merits, is this a disappointing film. This film is a really well-made film. It's really well written. It's really well directed. It's got some great actors in it. It takes some really bold swings. The plot is fairly confusing and difficult to kind of... You've got to have watched Ultimatum just before, really, to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is so great about it, is that it's not... And also, it's not an action movie. It's a spy thriller.
Yeah.
And I think this is why people find it disappointing, is because they all were turning up for an action movie.
Yeah.
And what they got was something that was very... that's not, you know, that's not, you know, the main bit of action happens about 50 minutes in. This superb action sequence set in a kind of a big house out in the woods. There's a little bit of jiggery pokery at the beginning. But this is not a disappointing film. It's only disappointing if you've got Jason Bourne glasses on and you can't get over yourself.
Do you mean like if you went to the cinema to see a film that was called The Bourne Legacy, that like apparently was part of a trilogy of other films that you really enjoyed?
That's the question. Like, what is a film's responsibility to its audience?
Mm-hmm.
And also, what's the difference between what people want mm-hmm. from a film mm-hmm. and what's the difference between what they think they want? And what do they actually want?
Well, because I think you're talking about what is the audience's responsibility towards a film. That's what everything you've said so far is about that, as opposed to what the film's responsibility is. I don't think the film did anything wrong. I think it's completely fine. I agree with some of the bold swings. I think there are some misses in there too. And I think we could have a conversation about where, for me, the film fails on its own accord, unrelated to, you know, being part of this bigger series. But I think I'm very happy for it to do that. I don't believe it has a responsibility to me, but equally, if it doesn't, I'm allowed to be disappointed.
No, you are allowed to be disappointed, but so that's what, because it's not a perfect film, and I think any of its flaws are the flaws that you see in the other Bourne films. So anything you say, I'll just go, well, that's what you get in the other Bourne films.
I wouldn't expect any less of you.
So I'm going to say, yes, you can tell me what your problems with the film are, but I'm going to put my fingers in my ears and I'm going to go,
this
was already done. But... on a serious note, I'd love you to kind of just expand on and really, you agree with me, right? A film owes its audience nothing.
Sure. I think the filmmakers should be allowed to go wild and do whatever they want. I think as long as they accept that the audience might not enjoy that. And for reasons here, obviously the context is far deeper than just a general audience of an action or spy film going to see something that, you know, in many other cases might have just been marketed slightly differently. A spy movie making itself seem like an action movie. You go along, you're a bit disappointed. There doesn't need to be a trilogy before it for you to feel that way. But in this case, I both admire the bold decisions that they took and I understand why they took them. And also, I still can't help myself but feel a bit, you know, disappointed by it and how it wasn't more like what I wanted it to be like, which was more like a Bourne film.
But it is like a Bourne film.
It's not really, man. Like, I think there are a couple of like really key issues with it that stop it being, in my mind, really anything like a Bourne film.
Take me through the elements. Like, just pull back. What are the elements of what you consider to be a Bourne movie?
Okay, so I think what's really key with the Bourne trilogy is that there's a lot of unknowns, right? So the best thing, you know, the thing I love about the original trilogy the most, and this is another reason why I was disappointed with the final Jason Bourne film, is because Jason Bourne has amnesia from the beginning, right? And so not only does he not know anything about his past, we don't either. We learn little bits as he does as he goes along, and that's kind of helpful. But really and truly, you kind of get pretty much all the way to the end of the trilogy before the character learns everything about himself. Now, that helps with the suspense of the film. That helps with the twisting and turning of the plot. It works really neatly together. But also, it allows for so much mystery about the genesis of Bourne. And I think, and also the genesis of some of these programs, right? All you see about Blackbriar, Treadstone, these CIA operative black ops programs, you see little photocopies here, little pictures there. Like, there's so much for you to imagine. And when an audience at the cinema imagines something, it is always better than what they see, right?
Yeah. I don't know whether I agree with you that the that's the essence, that what makes a Bourne movie. But I agree that that is a very strong thread in those three films.
Yeah.
In that it's hints and suggestions to this grander conspiracy. People like shady figures. What have they done? Who's behind it all?
It gives the film scope because you don't know where the edges of the map are. Second part about what makes a Bourne film, first, the identity element of it,
yeah,
is that Matt Damon does the best Keanu Reeves impression in these movies, right? He is essentially a blank slate. All he does is just look around with his mouth closed, and then occasionally you get a kind of shy boy smile, right? And those are the more intimate moments or whatever. So that really works too, because the audience then just project onto him what they want, and he is totally impossible to beat, right? Like, no, he's the best in the world. Nobody else can come near him, and you know, he's real cool. And you do have in those Bourne films, you have the other espionage spy people. There's one in each of the trilogy that, you know, will be the kind of the big boss battle at the end of each film for him, or, you know, partway through or whatever. But the audience always know they're never as good as Bourne, right? They have the upper hand in those chase scenes and those fights because Bourne has just spent the last hour and 30 minutes running away. He's injured. He's got someone else to protect. He's always at a disadvantage, you know? But we truly always know that Bourne is the best. So those are the two things, I think, that make a Bourne movie, right? And then what happens? Copper bottom here and all.
Hang on a second. I love, we truly always know. We truly always know. I love the fact that you... I know that you are sitting in the stands with all the other Bourne fans.
Oh, big
time. And you're all just nodding along to each other going, we know that Bourne's the best.
We know
he's
the best.
Yeah.
It's like being Bourne's a Usain Bolt fan when you go to the, you know, the Olympics or whatever. You sit there with your Usain Bolt t-shirt and you all look around and you pretend there's stakes, but there aren't really, because he's obviously the best, you know? And that's part of it, right?
And if anyone ever says anything about your precious Bourne,
yeah,
you're all livid.
Yeah,
you
know? Of course.
You all go football fan style on anyone who has anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, they'd be wrong, man. They'd just be so hard wrong about that. It'd just be confusing. Like, I don't know why anyone would say anything bad about my Bourne, because he's the best. He's the best one, obviously. Anyway, I'm going to copper my bottom now for you, right? So those are the two elements. And now in this film, again, good film. I like the film. Not a Bourne film because of this. The meds.
Yes.
They just ruin everything, okay? They ruin everything.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. You don't have to say they ruin everything. They don't ruin everything.
Oh, I got a bit carried away. They spoil just a lot of the mystery
there
for
we
me.
Go.
And what they do is they tread around where they shouldn't, and they go, we've made a decision here, yeah? And actually, the decision, it doesn't just impact this film that you're watching. Actually, it impacts the films that came before that you thought were finished, that you really liked. But what we're telling you is that Jason Bourne actually isn't the best. He just had some meds. And the one special thing, you can have a special thing about him, Bourne fans, it can still be special. We don't know why he's still good off the meds. That's confusing for us. But he was on meds originally, which made him better. And actually, it turns out there's loads of people on meds. And so the franchise doesn't have to be over. And also, we've ruined all of the mystery in the other three.
I love that you're saying this. This is exactly what I wrote down. Do you want me? I've written down.
Yeah, go on.
I wrote down our precious Jason Bourne must be the one. He must be Bourne special and hard. And this film fleshes out the canon, so that isn't the case. And no one, you just can't handle it.
No, he's Keanu, man. He's my one.
I get that, and it's like the. I both like the meds in that I would love to have seen more movies like this.
You should watch Limitless.
There's scope here for these kinds of films that you don't get a film like this anymore that's so plot heavy and it feels meaty. It feels like a kind of a meaty political thriller, and then it's got some great action in between. Now, this kind of film is, and as much as I like John Wick 4 was fantastic, it is just a bit of chat and then a 30-minute fight sequence.
Yeah.
A bit of fat, a bit of chat, and a 15-minute fight sequence. There is nothing else really going on. And I miss this kind of film. So I would have, if this had been successful, if people had bought into it, yes, the meds are, they kind of, well, they do basically piss all over the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, they don't really do that.
Yeah, they do.
No, but only if you let them. Like, you don't have to I can imagine most fanboys would just kind of go, no, Bourne Legacy doesn't count. It's not canon.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. It's not part of the Bourne
canon. Stop
and
using Matt Damon's photo.
Yeah. They should definitely have stopped using Matt Damon's photo. But it's all just a bit, it's all a bit sad in that what was really nice, the reason why the meds are so interesting is because you get a great character at the end with Aaron Cross. There's the reason why he's been chasing after these meds that make you supercharged is because he was a nobody. So he's the antithesis of Jason Bourne. He's not the one. He's not Bourne special. He's had to rely on kind of getting these kind of slightly hokey pills and injections. And yes, it kind of it might detract a bit from Jason Bourne's specialness, but I just felt like it opened the door to something really, really interesting.
It can do, but I think the point here is that what it shows us is that Jason Bourne could have been the same low IQ military operator before he started taking the medicine too, right? That's the thing I don't like about it. I don't mind the meds and the enhancements. I think that's interesting. The issue is how it tampers with my understanding and my relationship with a previous character. And, you know, the special thing that they let him have is that it's not clear how he's still operating after he's come off the meds, after, you know, presumably at the beginning of the original film. But also it shows us that, he might have been nothing like Jason Bourne before he started taking that medication. So it leaves you feeling as though, you know, you can't really trust the character. You can't trust anything about it.
Just like don't make it a problem. But like all you guys, you just couldn't let it go. You just couldn't let it go.
Here's part two. Let me tell you part two of what I can't let go. Okay?
Yeah.
Right. Jeremy Renner, very good. I like him a lot. He's a terrific actor. I'm glad to see him in this film. I think he was a good choice, right? He's much more accessible than Jason Bourne, than Matt Damon's Jason Bourne. But he's an interesting choice for that reason, because he's more personable, he's more fun, he's more human, and, he's been about a bit, right? Like, he's a bit wittier, and I think that just doesn't work for Bourne. I want Bourne to not be any of that. I know they're trying to separate him a little bit from Jason Bourne. Like, they're trying to make it clear, look, this isn't the same type of character. This is a different kind of story. But there's just something about like how much fun he is that makes it not feel like a Bourne film.
He's not that much fun, but okay, fair enough.
He's much more fun than Damon.
Yeah, I mean, how cool was it to see Oscar Isaac at the beginning?
Really cool. Yeah, and do you know what? I love Oscar Isaac. I feel like he's very compelling. I wish there was more of him.
Yeah, I mean, imagine you could have a whole series of films where, like, you get to see Oscar Isaac and his Bourne film, Bourne, the Bourne spin-off. Unfortunately, he got blown up in a thing, but you could probably blag how he survived. There's the reason why, like, Tony Gilroy is just a fantastic screenwriter, and he obviously they got an amazing actor in Oscar Isaac well before he truly popped. But him and Renner are in this cabin in the woods, in the frosty woods, and you don't know. You know, you think maybe is Isaac going to kill him?
Yeah,
it's a great little standoff, but in a very short amount of time, Gilroy, you get a sense of who Oscar Isaac's character is, the kinds of men they are, and it's just I don't know, it's just all very economical, and it's all really, really well done.
I like that scene. I like that scene a lot because I think one of the things from the original films that you're often like, you want more of is more interaction between these super cool guys, right? And obviously, I think my favorite lines of dialogue from the original trilogy is Clive Owen during his death scene out in the meadow, where he says, look at us, look at what they make you give. It's those little moments between the two of them. There's one in Supremacy as well, when Bourne goes to the house in Germany and he clearly has a backstory with this other spy character that's never explained, never really explored. But there's a minute or two where they appear to be collaborating, and it's quite exciting, right? So the notion of seeing Renner and Isaacs in this cabin together, what could happen, the sparks, these two lone wolves who, you know, are isolated, and like you said, you get an idea of the kind of people they are. Seeing them together is I do like that they've pulled that theme from the original and expanded on it more, because I think that is fun. It did leave me thinking, on account of the, you know, the terrific job that Oscar Isaacs did and how believable he was as one of these agents, that I wonder if they had auditioned him for Jeremy Renner's role. And it turned out that they did. Clearly they liked him enough to give him this other, you know, this other supporting cast role as well. But Adam, I found a list of other actors that they auditioned, that did audition for the role of Aaron Cross. And I wondered if you'd like to have a little guessing game of who might have done that.
I mean, it's tricky because we're going back to 2012 and you've got to pick.
I would say there are four names on here that I think are gettable. The rest, some of them are a bit wild, but four of them I think are probably gettable.
So who's popping around there? I mean, was Chris Hemsworth knocking around?
Chris Hemsworth is not on this list.
Maybe that's too soon.
Also worth saying, although Jeremy Renner is obviously in the Avengers films, there isn't anybody else on this list that is part of the Marvel universe, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, thanks. That's useful. That is useful. Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor is not on the list, no.
I guess these are all kind of quite physical actors.
Not all of them. Most of them, yeah. Like most of them, you wouldn't be surprised to see like take a boxing movie or something, or you know, at least a role that has some element of physicality to it.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal is on the list. Yeah, he's one of the three that I think are gettable, and I would love to see him. I think he would suit the Oscar Isaacs role in this film, but I'd love to see that film.
Listen, don't diminish my guess by going, yeah, I thought that was gettable. You know, who are you talking to?
No, I'm just saying you'll never get the other ones.
I'm playing the game.
Sure.
Just say, pat me on the back and go, that was a great guess.
No, well done. That's a really good guess.
You went back in time in your mind.
Go again.
Go again.
Go back in time in your mind. Go again.
Mark Wahlberg?
Not on the list, but that's a really good guess, I would say.
Taylor Kitsch?
Taylor Kitsch is on the list, and I don't know who Taylor Kitsch is.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, he's John Carter.
He is John Carter, and he's in Battleship after that. They both tanked, and he's very much on the, I'd say, C to B list.
Oh.
But he's been knocking around for a while, and I think people rate him. I like him.
He's here, yeah. What else? Who else you got?
Well, I got one you didn't even know, so I've already beaten you.
Oh, you've already won the game, for sure. Now let's just see if you can continue to win it. Would you like some clues?
As vague as possible.
One of them is in a fighting movie.
It's like Tom Hardy?
No, but this one is in a fighting movie with Tom Hardy.
Oh, Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton.
He was never going to get cast in this movie.
Probably not, no.
Never.
He's the closest Renner, though. I think Edgerton and Renner are sort of cut from the same cloth.
I think Renner is far superior than Edgerton.
Think so?
Yeah, he is. Jeremy Renner, I know he's kind of plowed a bit of a furrow in a few Marvels, but we see him in like The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Or he's in this great film called Kill the Messenger.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's fantastic in The Town. I just think as soon as he's in anything mainstream, it's always going to be, all the edges are rounded off. He's always most interesting and exciting when it's something smaller, and he can really be spiky. And yeah, his spikes are the spikiest, not the spikiest, but they're spiky.
Well, I like Joel Edgerton. I think he makes him... interesting film choices too. I really enjoyed him in The Green Knight.
Do you know what? I take it back. He is very good.
Yeah.
He's not main star energy.
Okay, get one more name. Come on, and then I'll read the rest of the list to you.
Okay, well, give me one more vague clue.
Okay, Long Schlong.
Long Schlong. I said Mark Wahlberg.
No, although you're thinking along the right lines.
Oh, Eric Banner.
No, that's another really good guess, though, but different film, Long Schlong. God, there's a lot of Long Schlongs, isn't there?
Long Schlong.
This Long Schlong is seen as the character is doing pee-pee.
Pee-pee. Are you Adam Sandler?
He's facing the other way. You can see his buttocks, and then you can see the Long Schlong through his legs in the gap at the top of his thigh. And everyone said, wow, Long Schlong.
This does not ring a bell at all with me.
Oh, guten Tag, what a long schlong that is. Ah, guten tag there. What a long schlong. Because he's Irish-German, of course.
Mm. Oh, Fassbender.
It's old Mickey Fassfo in the film Shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, long schlong.
So who else you got?
Well, Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire.
I was going to say Tobey Maguire, and I just thought, no way, he would have just gone off the boil. And
how did he get auditioned for this, though? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's nuts. I think that's a rumour. There's no way he's...
Maybe, yeah.
He's just too... He's nowhere near. He's a boy.
Yeah.
He's an old boy, and he doesn't act anymore.
Well, here's one. I think this was a shout for potentially being under the age of 30, maybe, at this time, was Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. I guess he would have been in... What else is he doing around the same time? Has he done...
Shia LaBeouf around this... He'd already done Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That was 2008. He was doing the Transformers movies. I mean, in 2012, the same year that this film came out, he did a Sigur Rós music video. And also he was in the film Lawless with Tom Hardy. Remember that one? That probably could have featured on this, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, not great.
He's after Transformers, he's really like going back into his shell, and he's becoming very, very serious. And then soon after Lawless, he's sitting in a movie theater with a paper bag over his head.
Yeah. He did the Nymphomaniac movies too. Then he does Fury, American Honey. God, that was so long. I enjoyed that film, but it did not pass the bum test in the theater, I have to say.
I kind of stopped watching it. I thought I know what this is, and I'm bored now. He's good in Honey Boy.
I didn't watch that, yeah. I did watch the Peanut Butter Falcon, though. Anyway, other people on this list, before we finish this off, Garrett Hedlund,
yeah.
Luke Evans,
yeah.
Kellan Lutz,
yeah.
Alex Pettifer.
Yeah.
Don't know who that is.
He's in the first Magic Mike movie.
Oh, okay, fine.
Handsome lad.
Dominic Cooper. Yeah, not really sure I see that one necessarily. And then Logan Marshall Green and Michael Pitt.
Logan Marshall Green would have been quite interesting. He just looks like
Tom Hardy, doesn't he?
He does. That's exactly what he looks like. But he's in a good, fun little flick called Upgrade. But yeah, he feels like an also ran. He's a C to B in the same way that Kitsch, Hedlund. These are all guys that never quite popped through. To the A list.
Maybe if they got this movie, they could have gone A.
Well, I think for Renner, this was. It certainly doesn't. It's not a feather in his cap.
No,
this dies on its ass. It's a real like, you know, we love Damon, we don't like you, Renner.
Yeah,
that's how you're gonna. Okay, you're Jeremy Renner. You've bagged the old Bourne film.
Yeah,
it's written and directed by the guy who basically. You know, set the template for the original trilogy, and he did. Gilroy did. You take Gilroy out; those three films are dog shit.
Right. What else did Gilroy make?
Michael Clayton.
Michael Clayton, yeah.
Among lots of other things,
right?
And most recently, I know I don't like to talk about TV, but he co-created and wrote the Andor Star Wars TV series.
Right.
Which is superb. Anyway.
It's a shame this isn't a TV podcast.
No, I know. It's a real shame. What was I saying?
I don't know. Something about TV, I think. But confusing.
No. I wasn't talking about TV.
Before that, you were talking about Renner and right, so how this wasn't great for him.
No, right. So I'm saying this is a thought experiment for you.
Right, okay, for me.
You're Jeremy Renner.
Holy shit.
You've bagged it. Okay, yep. and it's not being directed by some no name. It's not some afterthought.
Yeah.
They've got the guy who made the blueprint for the original trilogy.
Uh-huh.
It's got pedigree. We're going to put a bit of money behind it.
Sure.
You're the pick.
What's my thought here? What's my experiment?
Film comes out. It dies on its ass.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Right. Okay, this is my experiment. How do I feel?
Fine. How do you feel about that?
Now, can I do this for you as part of a one-person theatrical piece as Jeremy Renner speaking to his agent on the phone?
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would be appalled if you just told me what your feelings were.
Great. Okay, well, hold on. Let me just... Beep, bop, beep, bop, beep, bop. Is that the American dial tone, or is it different there? Hello? Hey, Michael, it's Jeremy Renner, your number one client. Oh, hey, Jeremy, it's Michael, your agent. Yes, we've established that now. Now, listen. Michael, I'm devastated. No. There's some interference on the line. Hold on. Let me just put down this other phone. Now, listen, Michael, I'm just devastated about the performance of my movie, The Bourne Legacy. Yes, I'm sorry, Jeremy. That is a bit of a shame, isn't it? Yes, it was, Michael, because I was thinking, well, I'm in the Avengers movie the same summer, but I've just got that Hawkeye part, one of the side guys. He's rubbish. He doesn't have any skills. He's just a normal guy. And I'm thinking they're surely going to write me out of the franchise, because why would they keep me in? Because it's a totally pointless character. But I thought Bourne would be mine. Yeah, well, yes, Jeremy. But of course, Bourne will always belong to Matt Damon because he's the true one. What's that, Michael? You're breaking up. No. Listen, there'll be plenty more opportunities for you because you're an A-lister star. Thanks, Michael. You always know how to speak to me. That's the end of the scene.
Wow, man, that agent's harsh. Yeah. He's harsh. Why
no,
did
sometimes
the agent...
you got straight talking agents. That's what they need, these Hollywood stars.
Why did the agent let him sign on to the project in the first place?
Well, he wasn't his agent then. It was a different guy. Yeah. He swapped agents because that was actually his first call with his new agent.
Yeah, because he's fired his agent.
Of course. You would do.
When the box office figs
absolutely
come in.
Yeah. You would do. And also, if you're outperformed by Ed Norton in a movie in which Ed Norton, you know, is only in for 10 minutes, then it's no good. You've got to fire your agent.
He's not outperformed.
Hey, man, listen, Ed Norton's very good in this movie. And I tell you what, the main thing I felt about it, you know, watching this was, oh, isn't Ed Norton good at managing? Yeah. Not like these other chuffs from the previous Bourne movies, where they get in the room and they go, guys, it's a red alert. You've got to do everything immediately. Yeah. Ed Norton, he gets in there and he says, we're going to do this. What my favorite bit of this film is, he addresses a room of staffers and he says, and if you don't have clearance to this level, pop your hand up and General Creatine over there is going to come round and fucking sort you out. And I remember thinking, that's the kind of detail that a shit manager forgets. But this guy, he's in a crisis moment. Yeah, this is make or break for his career, potentially his future. And he's just on it. He's on it so hard. He knows every single point of the plan. None of his employees could accuse him of not, like, living the job. I thought, what a great guy. Terrific. It's a shame he gets done over by Renner, but what are you going to do?
You're talking about writing, mate. This is writing. That's why this is such a good film. Okay? You think, I'm going to make a joke about Ed Norton. It's like, no. That's all to do with the script. And yeah, I think that's all Ed.
I think Ed probably improv that line on the day.
Shut up. For fuck's sake. The film Jason Bourne is an appalling film.
It's not a good film, yeah.
And, you know, you talk about films tarnishing a legacy. Bourne Legacy doesn't come close to tarnishing.
Well, and that's why I didn't watch Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne,
yeah,
takes a big fat dump on the Holy Trilogy.
Yeah.
It's a stinker.
Okay.
Right?
For sure, man.
Anyway, let's tell me about Moby.
Ow, Moby, baby.
Is that in the first one, or is that kicking?
Oh, it's in the first one, man. It's credits roll in the first one. I mean, let me ask you this question, though. Is there another movie or song that is so closely associated?
This is the question.
That's the real question, right? Because that's the one. When I hear Extreme Ways by Moby out of a Bourne context, I start moving around like Jason Bourne, doing my karate, climbing up the side of buildings because I'm Jason Bourne, right? And when I watch Jason Bourne, before the credits roll, I start going, oh, baby, because I am Moby in that moment when I'm watching Jason Bourne, climbing up the side of the building.
You're livid about the remix they played at the end of Supremacy, though, aren't you?
It's not the end of Supremacy, it's the end of Ultimatum, and I am livid about it, and I will be livid every time I watch the film. I think, how dare you? I don't know whose decision that was, and I know why they made the decision. It's a very boring reason. I believe this to be the case, that they wanted to hold a shot longer on, is he dead in the river or not? You know, a little bit of extra suspense, but because the music's already had to start, they need a kind of slightly longer intro. So they probably went to Moby and they were like, hey, Mobster, have you got like a bit of something we can play at the front of that, a little bit of a longer thing? And Moby said, sure. And tell you what, while I'm at it, let me just whip up some fresh shit and give it to you, and then you can, let's just ruin everything for everyone. And then they said, yeah, let's do that. And then after, let's make two films that do that even more. I think that's probably what happened.
Is it a good song?
Yeah, probably. It is a good song. It's very catchy.
You tell me, Mr. Music.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what your qualifier is, but I would say it's a good song. Yeah, I mean, it has a really great hook in it. It's it's very earwormy. It feels very right for the tone of this film. I think the reason I asked you that question originally is because the film makes the song better, right? On its own, that song is just like, I don't think it was a single. And there are other songs on the album, the name of which I can't remember, that are more popular and or...
Play?
It's Play. That are more popular than that song is, right? So it's like track number 14 or something. It's
ooh,
deep.
Ooh, lordy, trouble so hard.
Exactly, which is...
Ooh, lordy, trouble so hard. Don't nobody, troublesome girl. Don't nobody, troublesome bird.
Troublesome
ooh, lordy, troublesome bird.
Yeah, I mean, that's a terrific song. But it's like track 14 or 16. It's buried in the back of the album, you know. And that's not to say that it's not a great pop hit. But I do honestly think that Bourne elevated the song in the same way that the song elevates. It's just a marriage made in heaven. And I can't really think of another film or film series that has that in this to the same degree of success.
Well, I guess you've got like Eye of the Tiger with Rocky.
Yeah.
But this feels like a different beast.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did they... Yeah, why did they go, yeah, this is the anthem?
Yeah, I don't know.
And we're going to stick it on all of them.
Okay, welcome to the box office game. Starting with budget, please, estimated according to IMDb for the film The Bourne Legacy, Adam.
This is going to be a real challenge because it is ostensibly a big old Hollywood picture.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think it's something of a punt. They're trying to launch a side. It's not a cop. It's not a like. It's not going to slam dunk it. So how much money can they spend on it?
How much money can they spend on it?
In the same way that Tatum doesn't open a picture, Renner does not open a picture. The Bourne name is opening this film, and it's whether people... Oh, I mean, how much do I believe in it?
I mean, he did The Hurt Locker, in which I guess was three, four years earlier. But, you know, that was well received at the Academy Awards, and Renner face everywhere. He's in The Avengers. I mean, I'm not sure. I think maybe he's on the edge of opening.
No, he's not. He's not anywhere near opening, mate.
What about Wind River, hey? That's a fucking... I know that's more recent and isn't relevant to this conversation, but I'm suddenly remembering Wind River, and that is just a terrific film.
Yeah, he's helping land an indie film like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's helping give that legs, and he's making it give a splash.
His heft faceth downwards. That's what you're saying.
I don't even know what that means. But his light shines upward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's say 100 million.
Well, you're estimating under here because it is 125 million they spent on this film.
Really? Okay.
Really indeed.
Well, not much under. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I think they've overspent. I don't think that's all. There's not quite enough on screen for that. But
let's see when we come to the box office now. Opening weekend, US and Canada. And this was a summer blockbuster, August the 12th.
I do think people would have turned up out of pure curiosity.
Bums on seats. Curious bums on seats.
But it's not doing boffo.
Okay. What would boffo be for you in this scenario?
Well, boffo's what Logan did. Basically made its money back in the opening weekend, didn't it? It made like $100 million or something.
Yeah, Logan did $88 million in the opening weekend on a budget of 97.
Right. Fucking stinko boffo box office.
That's big boffo, yeah. That's double boffy.
I think this is making Adjustment Bureau money.
Okay.
So I'd say 30.
Yeah, it did $38 million.
Okay.
Pretty good. Not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I mean, my guess, that's shit. That's not going to cut it.
I mean, it did a third of the budget.
Mate, listen, you're not factoring in marketing costs.
No, but you're not factoring it in when you talk about Logan. I'm just sticking with the applied, process here. You said Logan made back almost all of its money on the opening weekend, which is true if you don't consider the marketing costs.
Yeah, of course, and that's what I meant.
Oh, I see. That's what we mean and what we say. Sometimes they're very different, aren't they? Now, gross worldwide for Bourne Legacy. What do you think? The gross worldwide.
I don't ever recall seeing it in those lists where people talk about flopperinos and, the real stinkers.
Yeah.
You're Bourne fans... like you. You're born agains. You really are born agains.
Yeah, I was born the first time and I was born again every time there was a newborn until I died when this came out.
So 120. Like, I'd love it if it made... I'd love it if it made 200. So I want it to have made 200 million.
Maybe you should say what you think it made, though.
Okay, well, I think it made 140.
Well, I as a joke, I deliberately steered you away from what it actually made because it made $276 million.
Oh, right. Okay. So I was right. Well, I mean, that's not deliberate. That's just like, that's just disingenuous and like, that's not part of the game.
No, I just wanted to know what the difference between what you hoped and what you thought was. But you were going to say 200 and 276. Yeah, man. I mean, it did over 200 and it did nearly 300.
Right. So the thing is, when you say, tell us what you think, that's you, you're telling me, your tone, you're Mr. Tone, your tone boy.
Yeah, that's why I said I deliberately steered you away from it.
Yeah, but why?
I just thought it was funny.
Well, you know, well, only time will tell, won't it? I don't even like this game. I say it every single time and you go, you love this game.
You love this game.
When you do shit like this, mate, it makes me not like the game. It makes the game, it's not fun anymore. You know, it puts a stink on it. I thought it was a safe space. Suddenly it's not a safe space.
In your defense, this one was very difficult and you were still close. I mean, I've got to fuck with you now and again. Because you're too good at the game. The audience are just thinking, why do they even play this anymore? Adam's so good at this that he just guesses them correctly every time.
You can't unring the bell you just rang, my friend.
I am. Okay? Listen to me, unring it now. You're so good at the game. Here's something else I would be remiss if I didn't mention, simply because I was chatting to my friend about this. He said, if you replace Bourne in all the movie titles with American, it tells you a bit about what the films are all about. So you've got the American identity, the American supremacy, and the American ultimatum. And then I guess you've got the American legacy in this case. You don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, for me to unpick that, it's weird. My instinct is always to just say, that sounds like total shit.
He's going to be really happy to hear you say that.
And I just immediately want to disprove it. I could have come up with that idea and said it to someone and been really proud.
I think you could come up with most people's ideas. I mean, you're a smart guy.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, you telling me someone else has had that idea.
Yeah.
My immediate thought is, no.
Right.
Fuck that. That sounds like bollocks.
Right.
And I would immediately scrabble around to try and prove it wrong just because you've told me it.
Yeah.
Well,
but if you'd come up, are you saying if you'd come up with the idea, you'd be like, this is pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I came up with the idea that I came up with the idea. This is what I came up with the idea with. I came up with the idea when I was 17.
Yeah.
Pretty soon after Seven had come out.
Oh, yeah.
I'd seen obviously seen Seven.
Yeah.
I became a very strong advocate for the idea that the big twist of Seven doesn't make any sense because John Doe punishes all the sins in the movie with a kind of either death or near death.
Yeah.
Like a real physical infliction of pain.
Uh-huh.
And then the big twist at the end is Brad Pitt, he commits the last sin of wrath. He doesn't get punished in the same way that the other victims do. Right?
Right.
So the film kind of ends quite quickly in that it kind of wants you to hurry you out the door and go, yeah, that was really clever though, wasn't it? And then if you, I love Seven, but I do think that bugs me so much.
Right.
And I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
No one, not only do I never really speak about it, but when I did bring it up,
yeah,
everyone just went, no, that's not a problem. What are you talking about?
Right.
Now
I do know what you mean, and that's formed you as a person. I understand that. Sometimes I have to tell you interesting, cool things twice, and then the second time, often you've forgotten that I've mentioned it the first time. The first time you've shit all over it, and when I bring it up again later, the second, maybe a few weeks later, you like if you're in a good mood, you're right into it, and you've no memory of me bringing it up before. It's a good trick that I use on you.
It's not a trick because there's no way that you do that.
Yeah, I don't do that really. But this is a good example of how we're different, you and I, the two central characters on this podcast, because your response was out of fear and being burned before was to immediately call it shit. But my response when my friend texted me that was, oh, that's nice. Yes, that's a very good bit.
Yeah, but oh, it just also...
You think it just sounds smart. But that it isn't actually smart. But the thing is, it is actually smart because the films, they do have a lot to say about American culture. And if you and me were the people to have that conversation, which we're not, I grant you that,
Yeah.
Then it would be smart. But because we're not smart, it's not smart. That's the thing. If you had two people, historians who were, you know, all over American politics and geopolitics, and they could use that as a little hook to take you through the last 20 years of America and its position in the world, you know, as a global superpower. There's the beginnings of a fantastic podcast. Not this one, but a good one.
I reject the premise of that because...
No. Yeah, let's play the game. It's my turn to read to you a list of films, isn't it?
This is the part of the podcast where one of us, in today's episode, it's going to be Joe, reads a list of films to try and catch out the other, me, in this case, on a film that they forgot.
Yeah.
To decide what film we'll chat about next.
Mate, I 100 got you in this. I've got a long list, but I've 100% got you. There's so many films on this list that are good for this. Okay, you ready?
Your lists are increasingly very good. I can't wait.
Burke and Hare.
Never watched it.
Okay, 20th Century Women.
Wouldn't forget that. Watched that maybe a year or so ago. Very good.
It's very good.
Good shout.
End of Watch.
I hated it. I didn't hate it, but I just thought it was too shit. Maybe we could look back to it, but I think...
Yeah.
It's a very good suggestion.
It's canon movies you forgot, but maybe it comes too soon in a quick line of films a bit like that. Yeah. Tenet. I know you haven't forgotten that, but I just wanted to say it.
I put that on the telly on Netflix. Watched the first 50 minutes with subtitles.
Okay. Charlie's Angels.
That's funny. No, I would have seen that too formative a time. And
fair enough. Yeah. It's locked in there, is it?
Yeah, certain bits of that film are locked in there. That's all.
Almost Famous.
Again, no.
Yeah, locked in. Formative. Okay, fine. Here's one. You might not have seen this one. The Handmaiden.
I have seen that. I did only see it once, but again, it's too... too visceral, and there's no way that we're going to talk about what happens in that. That's fair enough.
Okay.
Excellent stuff, though.
Love and Friendship.
Never saw it.
Okay. The Lobster.
No way. Are you getting a Yorgos Lanthimos film past me?
I don't rate that movie. That's why it's on my list. Oh, here's a really good one. Everybody Wants Some. The Richard Linklater movie.
I chose not to watch that because it got fairly badly reviewed.
Okay. Isle of Dogs.
Never watched it.
Okay. Okay. We're getting through my list a bit. Here's a good one. Lion.
Oh, with Dev Patel.
Yep.
Never watched it.
Oh, shit. Okay. No, it's fine. I got a lot left. We're good. We're going to be fine. Straight Outta Compton.
Started watching it, got bored.
Yep, fair enough. The Hateful Eight. It's his forgettable one, right? I mean, it's... Who watches The Hateful Eight again?
Yeah, I found it so egregious and annoying. I forgot it. Wound up by it.
Okay, no problem. I didn't want to watch it anyway. Brooklyn.
With old Saoirse Ronan.
It is Saoirse Ronan, isn't it? Or is it it is Saoirse Ronan. Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, never watched it.
Okay, that's a great film, by the way. You should watch that at some point. Burnt, your favourite.
Why?
Bradley Cooper, your favourite Bradley Cooper. And it's got, what's her name in it?
Sienna Miller. This is the problem. I'd love to do this on this podcast.
But you haven't forgotten it.
I watched it a year and a half ago, having never seen it. And
it's a terrific film.
I don't know if it's terrific, but I was, because it got fairly panned / ignored, and I thought this is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's got some odd things in it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But okay, fine.
We could definitely do that in a year.
I'm gonna get you, man. I'm not even concerned that I haven't got you yet. Here we go. Youth.
Never watched it.
Oh, that's a shame. We could have talked about Maradona.
Looks silly.
Victoria.
Oh man, that is unforgettable.
I know.
Amazing. One shot flick.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, here's another fantastic film, Julieta.
No, I mean, this is like S. Almodovar and.
Yeah.
I can't let that slip through.
Okay, well, here's another one, which is Pedro Almodovar, a more recent one. Did you watch Pain and Glory?
I didn't.
Okay, that's very good. They're both very, very good. Okay, here's the one I'm convinced I'm going to get you on. Out of the Furnace.
I started watching it and I got so bored I didn't finish it.
Oh, God. Okay. No worries. There's four more films here and I think I'm going to get you with one of them. American Made.
Oh, it's a shame. I didn't finish. The only reason I didn't finish it is because of life. I was quite enjoying that. That would have been such a good one to do.
It's okay. It's not that interesting.
No, okay, yeah. We could have got to speak about Cruise.
Do Cruise at some point, no doubt. There's some forgettable Cruises out there, isn't there? What about this one? Kick-Ass.
No, again, I think the action of that's too memorable.
Fair enough. It is, and it stood out at the time for sure. Okay, two more. I'm definitely going to get you on one of these two. Crazy Heart.
I would didn't watch that film.
You didn't watch it?
No, because it was up for Oscars. And I love Jeff Bridges, but there's nothing in that film that would appeal to
you. Man, you have obliterated my list. Okay, here's a film. Now, you will have seen this film. I'm relying on you forgetting it. Okay? Jumper.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're doing a joke.
No.
Did I legit get you with Jumper?
I mean, the fact that we've just been talking about Doug Liman slightly crowds your point, but yeah.
Did he direct that film, did he?
He did.
Oh, okay. But now listen, because the audience will know, if that wasn't a cheat, you haven't told me that, are you doing a cheat for me or are you for real?
I saw that Donkeys years ago, never thought about it again.
It only took me 25 films. Okay, I'm going to rewrite my list before next time. Jumper's great, though. It's not good. But for some reason, that film, I just really like it. And I've seen it so many times. I don't know why, because it's not a good film.
Yeah, I'm just glad we don't have to do End of Watch.
Yeah, me too. I didn't really want to do that either.
You have been listening to me, your host, as ever. And yeah, goodbye. See you next time.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Then it fell upon. You got to do it next. It's the end of the episode. It fell upon. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Like it always does. Always
You can email us at moviesyouforgot@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. Maybe you'll get us out. Give us your film suggestions. Feel free to let us know stuff we've said that's wrong. And I'm sure we'll take it with really good grace.
Extreme Whiz are back again. Extreme places I didn't know. Okay. I broke everything good again.
All right.
Everything that I own. Okay. It's like Elvis. If you never, you know, think that that's basically a perfect Elvis song.
I'm stopping recording now.
Give me another window came along.